Good morning. So this morning we're continuing our series, looking at key transformations that happen in the life of a believer when they come to Christ. As we talked about before, you could be a believer for 100 years and never really get your mind and heart wrapped around these transformations. Or for some, you can come to Christ and these are immediate things that happen that just begin to click. So how long you've been here doesn't really have bearing on how we mature together. And again, these are key transformations that are important for our internal maturity, but they're also important, as we've been talking about, for our witness to the world. So this week, again, I was in Denver, and it was funny because I had many of my customers there saying, Jeff, how in the world, why in the world would you choose to travel over election week? And being in Denver and them being fairly conservative folks, they were convinced that one way or another, the world was going to tear itself apart. Because the reality is this week we saw 49% of the country heartbroken, and we saw the other half of the country satisfied. But if you weren't in the heartbroken column this time, then chances are 4 years ago you felt heartbreak as well. The reality is that for many of us, I'm sure you've heard the truism, and I call it a truism because it sounds true, it's nice and pithy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is true. You can't always get what you want. We know there's songs that play into that, and it sounds true, and for many of us, when we talk about our own experience, it is true. We see the scriptures, when you look at the book of Romans, even the Apostle Paul paints this picture in chapter 7 of what it's like to be conflicted, to desire to run after God, to desire to do God's will, but yet he says, the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do, and the things that I want to do, those are the things that I don't do. That even in the life of the Christian, even after everything that Jesus has done for us, we can go to Easter service and Good Friday and we can celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And we can leave the church with good intentions and a heart that wants to serve God. Yet when that temptation comes, yet when we hear the cry or the desire of our flesh, we blow it. We mess up. We give into temptation. And again, if someone says, well, you can't always get what you want, it rings true, it sounds truthy, it sounds pithy, but the reality is, in Christ, we can get what we want. See, God has created this special transformation with the Holy Spirit for every one of us as believers, where if we can set our heart in the right place, where if we can entrust our heart to the Spirit of God, God will transform our heart so that the things that we desire become the things that He wants for us. Doesn't mean that God changes His heart. No, His heart stays the same. But it means that our desires become transformed so that we want the very things the God of the universe, God Almighty Himself, wants. So that our desires and His desires come together. And the scriptures make it clear, as we'll see today, that if our heart beats like God's heart, if we are walking in the Spirit of God and we're allowing Him to lead, then we will indeed get the things, the desires of our heart. When Beth and I were dating, she was the first one to kind of point out this proverb to me, and it's been an important one for us as parents of daughters. And it's the proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's difficult, and it's why there are so many in our country this past week that from some of those that may have been more comical to watch on television, there's something about watching the pride humbled a little bit, the prideful humbled a little bit, that maybe the sinful carnal part of us gets satisfied in. But we're used to not getting the things we want. We're used to being conflicted. We're used to being torn. But I want you to understand this morning that God is providing us an invitation to have our hearts transformed so that the object of our desire will be the object of His desire, so that our hearts will beat like God's heart, and so that we can be satisfied, that we can indeed see the object of our desire come true. But it's important that we go on this journey through Galatians chapter 5 to really understand it. Because I've met many Christians that say, well, I'm not a real Christian because I still sin. And if I was a real Christian, I wouldn't sin anymore. Well, that's not exactly what the scriptures say. So we're going to look at Galatians 5. We're going to start in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have Jesus crucified, belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There's a lot in this passage. We're going to key in on a few parts. First one is the burden of our flesh. Before salvation, we were all slaves to the desires of our flesh. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Before Jesus, for each of us, and before Jesus, for your neighbor that doesn't know Him, before salvation, for your family member that doesn't know Christ, we are unable to do anything but live by the flesh. The Bible makes it very clear that even our own righteous acts in the book of Isaiah are like menstrual rags. They're not clean, because even when we do, you know the old adage, a clock is right, even a stop clock is right twice a day. So if we don't have Christ, even if we do a moral thing, even if we do the right thing, it's not for the right reason, because our hearts haven't been transformed. And so we shouldn't be surprised when people who are in the world do hurtful and messy things towards us. We shouldn't be surprised when they act in selfish and self-centered ways, because we too were once like that. See, without Jesus, we have no choice but to follow the cravings and the desires of our flesh. And don't get me wrong, there are some sins that we can say, oh, that's a terrible idea, I still don't want to do that. But our hearts won't even do it for the right reason. So the motivation of love, sacrificial love, what we would call in the scriptures agape love, the love that Jesus had when he laid his life down for us. That love only comes with salvation, and it only comes with the Holy Spirit. So we can try really hard to be a good person, but without Christ, it's impossible. And this is where our testimony becomes so important. Because those in the world, when they see us do good things for truly the right reason, it will be a head scratcher because they won't trust it at first. They won't understand how it can happen. But our morality, the ability to walk in God's Spirit and do the things that God wants us to do, it only comes after salvation. Paul was really clear in the book of Romans and through Galatians again that we can't please God. We can't do the right thing. We can't act out in altruistic or pure ways until we've been saved. And again, the picture is that of a legal one. We talked about this last week, that part of the reason that this transformation doesn't happen all immediately at once when we accept Christ is because there's a legal thing that happens. We are justified in Christ the moment that we accept salvation. God sees us as Jesus. He sees all of the purity of Jesus in us the moment we are saved. But there is this other process that in theology we call sanctification. And that's the process that we are made into the image and likeness of Jesus. That we become the thing that's been declared over us. We all know that when somebody is declared not guilty in the courtroom, it never meant they were perfect. It doesn't even mean that they're innocent. That's something that people get, mixed up on sometimes. When somebody is declared by a court to be not guilty, it doesn't profess their innocence. It just meant that they were innocent until proven guilty, that there wasn't enough evidence. Well, for all of us, the courtroom says we are not guilty the moment that we receive Christ, but we have work to do. But the privilege is we get to do that work. When your cousin, your sister, your aunt, your grandparent, your nephew, your niece, whoever it is that we get frustrated with, that neighbor that won't mow their lawn, that stays up late with loud music, we get frustrated, but we have to understand that they don't even realize the messes they're making. And without Christ, if it doesn't start with Christ, they can't even begin to make it better. So for each of us, there was this burden of the flesh, and that was overcome by the cross. And we're given freedom in Christ, but for many believers today, I think we're trapped. We're stuck between the freedom we have in Christ and this burden of the flesh. See, after salvation, we are free to choose to live by the Spirit or to chase the desires of the flesh. We get to pick. It's not automatic. And I think there are a lot of different ways to look at this, but one of the ones that I've seen the most in the lives of my Christian friends and loved ones that are struggling is that we get caught up in this idea of saying, you know what, I'm going to try really hard not to sin. So we think about that sin and we say, I'm not going to do it. I draw a picture of it, I put it on the wall, I put a big X on it, and I say, I'm not going to do that terrible thing that used to be so pleasurable for me, or it used to be this thing that was a big part of my identity in life before Jesus. I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, and then we do it. Because we're focused on it. We're fixated on it. It becomes this thing we give so much power to. But in Galatians 5:13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedoms to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So what God is calling us to do is he's calling us to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit of God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to use our mouth to say the things that God would have us say, our feet to walk to the places that God would have us go, our hands to serve those God would have us serve, if we do that and we're filled with the love of God, something amazing happens. You can't have all hot and all cold water at the same time. When the water is running, when the Spirit is flowing, the sinful things of the flesh, they have to take a back seat. The Spirit of God is powerful. And He doesn't leave any room, would we walk in the Spirit, for the flesh, the devil, or the world to do much. See, instead of being so fixated on the things that we don't want to do, God is saying here in Galatians chapter 5 that we need to be focused on the good things that He's called us to do. We need to be focused on what it is for us to be in step with Him. And He gives us a beautiful list. He says, here are the things of the world, and we heard that list. It's a list of things that we don't like in the church, I think officially. But the fruit of the Spirit, it all begins with love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and self-control. So when those things are being poured out through us, when we allow the Spirit of God to work in us in that way, then there is no law against us. There is nothing that we can do to sin in the midst of being filled with the Spirit. But we have a tendency to kind of have one foot in, one foot out. We'll dabble in walking in the Spirit, but then we'll want to take control back. There was a country, baby Christian song that was out 10 to whatever years ago called Jesus Take the Wheel. And it's a beautiful picture of how, okay, God, I want You to have the wheel in my life. I want You to be the one choosing where I go and how I go. But in reality, as Christians, oftentimes we're saying, Jesus, take the wheel. But then we have one hand over here trying to pull it back. Looks a little bit like my wife when she's trying to teach one of the young ones to drive. He had done the dash and the fake brake there that... Beth lets her anxiety show with the kids driving a little bit more than I do. Doesn't mean it's not there. But we try and take back control. And again, the non-believer, they don't have a choice. They're going to be led by the flesh. As believers, I love it. I wish that somehow in God's providence and wisdom said, it's better for us not to have the ability to sin anymore. I'd love that. That'd make life so much easier for me, and maybe for many of you. But that's not what happened at salvation. What happened at salvation is we were given a choice. We were given a choice to tap into the Spirit of God or to tap into the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And that's a choice that gets easier over time. The more we walk in the Spirit, the more that we will recognize the voice of God in our lives, the more it will be easier for us to trust God. Because at the end of the day, isn't that really what it is? When God says this is how things should go, for whatever reason, we think we're smarter. We're like, okay, God, now I don't know. I really trust You that my life will be more fun and better if I give off these fleshly pleasurable things and choose not to do that. But God is right. And many of you who have lived far more years than I know that over and over again through your own testimony, through your own experience. But salvation doesn't make us free from sin. It gives us the choice. One of the best ways, I think, for us to look at it. There's an old Native American proverb about two dogs that fight. And the young boy goes up to the more wise elder and says, "How do we know which dog will win?" And the elder says, "It's whichever dog we feed." And again, not advocating dog fighting here. But in our life, we have to decide which dog are we going to feed? Which source are we going to feed the Spirit of God in us? And that's going to happen through the Word of God. It's going to happen through time in prayer and reflection. Or are we going to feed the flesh? And that's probably going to happen through the television set, maybe the radio. The news is just making you real mad inside and taking away your peace. It's probably time to turn it off. Because it's easy to find that a half an hour becomes an hour, becomes multiple hours. And if we are filling our minds and our hearts with more of the world than we are the Scripture, If we're spending more time on cable news or network news or the internet than we are in the Word, then we're feeding the wrong dog. So again, we have a choice now. We have freedom in Christ that we can choose, and God will still love us. He'll forgive us. But he says, don't use that freedom in such a cheap way. So we're given, again, this freedom in Christ where we have a choice. But our heart's desire, see, I think this is the key. This is where we all want to end up. When we walk in the Spirit, we cannot satisfy the desires of the flesh. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. If you are walking in the Spirit, you cannot sin at the same time. The Word says we can. Unfortunately, we can walk in the Spirit a little bit and then jump over here and take control again. But if we are actively walking in the Spirit, if we are actively serving God in the moment, if we are being filled with His presence, if what's coming out of us is an outflowing of the love that God's put in us, then we're not going to sin. We're not going to fall into sin. We're not even going to think about sin. But if we get distracted and we get too fixated on the world and the problems in the world that we can't solve, then we begin to take control back. I'm not sure I really trust God with this election. I'm not sure I really trust God with my next promotion. I'm not sure that I really trust God with the conversation I have to have with my child. Do we trust Him? Because we have this invitation to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. And if we take that invitation up, we will find that God will give meaning to our lives that we never imagined. That He will take us places we never thought we would go. That He will give us peace in the midst of the storm. And the world will see it. So we always have to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. When we walk by the Spirit, it will be noticed. Because again, the rest of the world, it's so fixated on what makes me happy, what feels good to me. And it creeps into the church. I can't tell you how many times that I hear from people and they'll tell me that they're shopping for a church. Like we would shop for laundry detergent or shampoo. And they're looking for what church is going to be the best for me. And you listen to the language and it's all me, 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 me. I'm careful. Sometimes I feel prompted to say it, and sometimes I realize I don't have quite that relationship yet. But the question is, God, where do you want me to serve? Not where can I get everything I want. Where are you calling me to go? See, if we can learn to live by the Spirit, if we could realize that this passage of the fruit of the Spirit is not just a Sunday school lesson for our little kids, but it's really the key to being in union and connection with God, then our hearts will be transformed. And again, what we desire will change. Where once we desired the physical pleasures of this world, whether it come through food, obviously that's something I'm working on, or it comes through the lust of the eye, or it comes through ambition and power and wealth and consumerism. There's so many things that we're trained, the commercials on TV are telling us, you want this, you want this, you want this, you won't be satisfied without this. But God is there to transform our hearts so that we want the very thing that He wants. God's not going to stand in opposition of that. He's going to use us to partner with Him to, again, be His hands and feet to serve those who God wants to serve in our community. And how beautiful the day when that neighbor who didn't know Christ gets to know Christ because he's used you and given the words for you to speak and the kind actions for you to do and the right attitudes for you to have, even though that neighbor may have been obnoxious, difficult. I have watched God transform even those relationships to see his kingdom built. If you want to get what you want, if you want your heart not to be disappointed and to struggle, then we have to get to this place where we walk in the Spirit and we allow God to transform our hearts. I wouldn't be surprised if someone walked into the service for the first time and heard me say that it's not true that we can't always get what we want, that there is a way, that there is a path, that our desires could be fulfilled even almost all the time if we walk in the Spirit, but it's true. God is offering you this beautiful path forward where you learn to hear his voice and recognize it, where you learn to walk in the steps that he has laid out before you, when you learn to lean on the power that he has, when you learn to walk through battles that he's already fought, where the victory's already been sealed. Some of us, we're swimming upstream in the river and we're trying to do it our own way, and maybe the things we're trying to do are moral and they look good. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, if we don't allow God's Spirit to wash over and change the way we think, change the way we feel, change the desires of our heart, then we're going to be stuck back at that baby Christian immaturity. And our testimony to the world isn't going to be good. We're going to be frustrated. And we're going to be the picture of that man in Romans 7. That's constantly saying, I know I want to do these things, but the things I want to do, I don't. I can't seem to get it to work. We're going to know the things that we want to do and we don't do them. We're going to know the things we want to avoid, and those are the things that we're going to do, and we'll be filled with angst and tension. But again, this morning, God is offering a different way forward. Will you let God's Spirit take control and transform your heart? It's the question I want you to be thinking about as we sing our final song this morning.